So this text called Dhyan Swarupam, or the essence of meditation. Last week we had done the first verse, which says meditation is abidance in one's own self. What is myself? As we had talked about before, my true nature is this spirit or consciousness. That is who I really am. And at this moment I am working through the body, mind and intellect. My body, my mind, my intellect. So when I say my, then who is the owner? I am of that nature of the spirit. We have talked about that last week in detail. For those who are new, you can go to the website called firstpower.info and you can get previous talk. So meditation is abidance in my own nature. When I meditate, I abide in my own nature, that is of the nature of the self or the consciousness. And that is who I really am. That is what we practice in meditation. And meditation is not an activity, even though we say we sit to meditate. But this understanding that I am of the nature of the self is not an activity, just as the understanding that I am a man or a woman is not an activity. I know that. I wake up in the morning, I know that. I don't have to repeat to myself, I am a man, I am a man. Similarly, a wise person knows that he or she is the spirit, is the consciousness, which is permanent. And this body is a temporary garment that I have put on. And that understanding is called meditation. So now, is meditation an action? You know, we say, well, you know, we say I should sit down and meditate, or I want to meditate, or meditate for 20 minutes. So is it a limited action? That is the question we'll answer today. That is meditation an action, or is it a knowledge or an understanding? And we'll do verse number 2 in page 9. Karmotpanam phalam drishtam. Panam phalam drishtam. Nashvaram bhinnam atmanah. Nityoplabdhasvatmahi. Nityoplabdhasvatmahi. Swarupam dhyaturevasah. So what is an action? Action is something I do with my, either with my body, or I can do with my speech, or I can do with my mind. I can think, I can speak, I can act. Now what happens as a result of an action? I get a fruit. I get a result. If I go and do a job, I get paid. If I say something good, I get a good result. If I say something mean or angry, then the result comes back is bad. So every action results in a result, results in a reaction, or results in a result, ends in a result. Now what happens to the result? Is it permanent? Anything that I create, whether I create a house or whether I create a pot, or whether I create a reaction with my action, like I get somebody angry or I get somebody happy, it's not permanent. You know, for a while, the result of my action will be there. And then after that, it is nashvaram. So he says, karmotpanam phalam drishtam. The result of an action can be seen, can be experienced. You can experience it with your mind, or you can see it with your eyes. And it is nashvaram. It is temporary. And bhinnam atmanaha. And it is separate from myself. Any action that I do results in creating something that I am not. I cannot create myself. They say, well, I'm a self-made man, as they say. But when they talk about self-made man, what it means is that I already existed, but I was unhappy and I became happy, or I was poor, I became rich, or I was a failure, I became successful. But I always existed. And this concept that I am the spirit is must be new for people who have just arrived. I think those who have been coming to this class, we have talked about it several times. And as we continue to discuss that, that concept will become clear. Also, that will become clear when we do the orientation for meditation for new people. But the result of an action is temporary. Nothing is permanent. Whatever you create, whatever you do, nothing is permanent. This building is not permanent. Even the earth is not permanent. There is a time eventually, they say, when the entire universe will end. You know, all the stars will collapse and it will become a big black hole and the world will end. So nothing in this, mountains are not permanent. Mountains are changing. More mud is being formed and otherwise they are breaking with the wind or they are breaking with storms or with rain. You know, the mountains get washed down. So nothing is permanent. But Nityoplabdha Svatmahi, but the idea that I am the Self, Swarupam Dhyaturevasa, it is the my own nature. Dhyatu means the meditator understands that I am the Self. Self is God's presence within all of us, and that is permanent. God was always there, is there, will always be there. And even I, as the Self, if I believe that I am that Self, that consciousness, which is a part of that total divinity, the God, then I always exist. Yes, my body will come and go. My body will be born. I will live for a few years, then I will perish. And so a wise person even does not mourn his or her own death. Even if he knows that death is approaching, for some reason he is informed, okay, you have only 3 months to live. But a person who has understood that I am of that infinite nature, the Self, which is permanent, then this body, even if I have to drop, the person does not get affected by that. So what happens when we do an action? As I said, the results are limited, temporary. But there are four kinds of actions that we can carry out. One is apyam. Apyam means to reach or to become. So that means I take a plane, I go from Los Angeles, I reach New York. Okay, that is called reaching. Or even from earth, I reach heaven. I died and I reached heaven. That also, we say that heaven is also a temporary place. Even a person who goes to heaven or hell does not enjoy or suffer forever, because we believe in that there is a rebirth. And heaven is a place where I go to enjoy my good activities, which I have done good actions. Hell is a place where I go to suffer my bad actions. But at the end of that time, when I have gone through my good or bad actions, then I continue my journey on earth until I become one with the Self, until I realize that I am that Self, that nature. Then and then alone, when I merge my individual identity with the total identity, which we call as God or Brahman, when I, that individual, becomes one with God, just as Jesus said, the Father and in heaven and I are one. When that understanding comes, then such a person is not born again. Then a person goes beyond birth and death. So one is that you can create, or I mean you can reach or you can become with action. Utpadya means you can produce or create, like you can create crops, or you can create a painting, or in the kitchen you can create a new dish, you get ingredients, you create. So that's the second result of an action. One kind of action, you become something or reach somewhere. Second is you create something. The third kind of, for producing or creating, you need to have knowledge. You need to have gone to school. Say if you want to, in a factory, create something, you need to have a knowledge of engineering to make the equipment. In the kitchen, if you want to make a new dish, you have to have studied. Either you get the recipe or you study from your mother. You have to learn, you have to go to school, and then only you can create something new. Talking about learning, this CPA firm needed a new graduate to join their firm as an associate. So they applied, you know, we need fresh graduates because we are looking for junior associates in our CPA firm. And so 10 of them applied, and the one question was only asked to them: if your client tells you how much is 2 plus 2, what will you say? One said 4. Second, if your client asks you 2 plus 2 is how much? 4. 9 of them said 4. The 10th got hired. You know why? Because when he was asked the question, if the client asks you how much is 2 plus 2, what will you say? He said, I will tell the client, sir, what would you like it to be? So we have to have that knowledge, you know, the right knowledge for the field I am applying in, the job I am going for. So here also, to produce or create, I need to have some knowledge, some understanding. Another result of action can be to modify. That means I modify, like I take a bath, you know, that is a change. Or I modify, like I have a piece of old car, and I clean it and I paint it and I make it new. Or I change a house, you know, a house I remodel. So that is modify, that I break the walls, I clean the house, I remodel it, I paint it. So that is modify. The fourth result of action is to purify. That means, like say I get raw gold, you know, the gold ore, and then I run it through the machine and then I purify and pure gold comes out. That is called purification. Or my mind is full of dirt, is full of negativities, and I, you know, learn the right habits and I go to the teacher and then I say, you know, I need to give up anger, greed, jealousy. So I'm purifying the mind. So all actions that we can think of fall under these four categories. I can either reach somewhere or become something, or I can produce or create, I can modify, change, or I can purify. But is meditation any of these? Is meditation fall under any of these categories? In meditation, do I reach or become something? Or do I produce and create something? Or do I modify something? Or do I purify something? As we had studied last week, and we will repeat again, meditation is understanding that I am that pure infinite self, that Atman, the consciousness, that is my true nature. And this self or consciousness cannot be reached. You cannot say, I will reach a state of enlightenment. You know, like they say, enlightenment is a state that you reach. But understanding that I am of the nature of the self is not something you reach or you become. You are that. Just as you cannot say, I am going to reach the state of being a woman or reach the state of being a man. I am a man. I am a woman. I know that. So that is not something you reach. That is who you are. Can you produce or create this self, the consciousness, God's presence? No, you can't, because the consciousness always was, always is, and always will be. So it cannot be created. Can it be modified? They say that the self within me is permanent, is avyayam, is the same, cannot be modified, and is ever pure. So the point of this topic is that as my understanding is that I am of the nature of the Supreme Self, that is, cannot be an action. It is an understanding. It is an abidance in the truth. And what we do in our 20 minutes or half an hour of meditation is understand that I am that. And then that knowledge has to stay with us throughout the day. Throughout the day, you have to stay with that understanding that I am not this body. I am not this mind, I am not this intellect, they are my equipment. I am of the nature of the self. And this self, that's why meditation cannot be an action. Even though we say you meditate for 20 minutes or half an hour every day, but meditation is an understanding, is an abidance in the nature. As you read this text, Swamiji has made it clear that it cannot be an action, but it is a knowledge, it is an understanding. Just as I am a human being is not an action, it is a knowledge. So in meditation, I understand that I am not this body, but I am this self. This is in brief, this particular verse. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Anything I did not make clear?
If it's not an attribute, it's very clear how really should be sort of abiding in the self.
Right. No, it's a very, very good question. I think purification of mind is required to meditate. To sit for meditation, I need to have a mind that is free of anger, greed, jealousy. If I sit and my I'm very upset or very angry, very... So I have to quieten the mind, and that's what we do in the meditation steps, where you relax the body and you observe your breath and you chant the name of God, or you visualize the form of God, which we will talk about in the next verse. All those actions help to quieten the mind and help to purify the mind. And also throughout the day, what kind of activities you do, as you slowly reduce your anger, greed, jealousy, reduce your vasanas, your selfish desires, your mind becomes purer and purer. And in that pure mind, you can abide in that knowledge. See, if your mind is not pure, it's full of agitation, full of disturbance, then even when you sit for meditation, your mind will wander and you will not be able to abide in that understanding. And even if you temporarily, quieten the mind down only for a few seconds, then again the mind will start racing. So what we do is, through the steps of meditation, relax the body, watch your breath, chant the mantra, you slow down the mind, and then let the mind stay with that understanding that I am the self. But that will disappear very quickly if your mind is not pure. If your mind has a lot of anger or jealousy or hatred, then immediately the thoughts will come. But as your mind becomes purer and purer and more thinks about God and thinks about pure things and reduces all this anger and all, then that mind, which is still, can then abide in that truth that I am that self. So that understanding will not come until your mind is pure. So pure mind is necessary as a prerequisite, but pure mind is not a meditative mind. A pure mind gets ready to meditate, but it does not mean that you are in meditation. Purification is a prerequisite, and then when you sit for meditation, you stay with that understanding that I am that self, and that should stay with you throughout the day. That is the meditation, where I understand, abide in that truth and not forget it even for a few minutes. I don't know if does that answer your question? I know it's a little difficult, a little heavy subject, and especially for new people, but as you keep coming, these ideas will become more clear as to what do we mean by the self. Yes.
In actual, it does take action, though, to get to the discipline point where you can actually live in that. Realm, right.
Right. Yeah. Action is required.
The action doesn't make that happen, but action gets you in the mindset that you can get that.
Absolutely. Awareness. Very good point. Yeah. No, the action is needed. Need to purify your mind. You need to reduce your selfish desires. You need to, serve. You need to love God. You need to study. You need to have this right knowledge. So all those are actions. With the body, I serve the world, and reduce my selfishness. With the mind, I love God. With the intellect, I go to a teacher and learn. So all those are actions. Yes, actions are necessary. I have to work at it. I have to get the right knowledge. I have to study. Then I have to sit down and I have to learn how to meditate, from a teacher, and then start practicing it. So all those are actions, I agree. But action will not lead you to the highest.
Right.
Action, because it's limited. See, what I'm trying to reach is the infinite, is the permanent. Any action will only give you a temporary result. But what I'm looking for is permanent. What I'm looking for. So I cannot reach God. I cannot know God. I can just end my ego. When my ego disappears, then I realize everything is God. Then I, as an ego, individual ego, disappear. And then I become one with that. And then I function as a prophet, as an angel, as a messenger of God. Because then God and I are one. So that understanding comes when the ego disappears. As long as we have this ego that I am the perceiver, feeler, and thinker, and I am separate from you and from her and him and her, and I'm different from this religion and this race and this culture and all that, and I'm different from animals, birds, plants, fish. That understanding will be there as long as I understand that I am this limited body. But saints have gone beyond their body, and they have become one with the totality, because they have become one with that total, and they understand that there is only one consciousness, God, that is there everywhere in all beings. Everything is there. Of course, there are good or bad people depending on their good or bad tendencies, but the essential nature of a criminal and a saint is the same. God's presence is there equally in both. It is not that God is more in the saint and less in the criminal. God is there equally. The saint and criminal depend on the choices we make, because humans have the choice to be good or bad. And so if we make good choices, we become good. If we make bad choices, we become bad. So a wise person realizes that God alone exists everywhere in all beings. And so he develops universal love. And so that is, that love is again not an action. It is not that I consider everybody as me, as one, is not an action. It is an understanding. It is abidance in that. And so no matter how much this person is persecuted by the world, the saint or the prophet never loses sight of that, that there is only one divinity in all of these. And that understanding is called the highest. And so that is not an action. That is an abidance in the understanding, in the truth. Is that clear?
Or I guess temperance or courage.
Right. Actions will result in a goal. You know, when you have a goal and then you act towards that goal, you may or may not achieve it. But if your actions are pure and determined, you will reach your goal. And if your goal is to develop more patience, more forbearance, more courage, more love, is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm. It seems that reading between the lines, that's one of the byproducts.
I think your point is that the more you are closer to the truth, the more you are closer to God, because God is all love, all compassion, all forbearance, kindness. So the more you are closer to the truth, the more you automatically develop these qualities. You don't even need to put an effort. As you come closer to the self within, automatically, of course, you can put effort to develop these qualities. But if you are closer, there's two results. One, as you develop these qualities, you become closer to the truth. Or the other way is, as you are closer to the truth, you develop these qualities simultaneously. You understand? Like in a saint, effortlessly he or she lives in those qualities of love and compassion. But also, if I consciously develop love, compassion, kindness for others, then closer and closer I come to the truth. So they go together. You know, the more I develop love, compassion, kindness, the more I come closer to the truth. The more I come closer to the truth, the more these qualities grow in me. That's why saints have spontaneous love for all. They have, you know, sharing and compassion and kindness and all. And serving the world. If you look at Mother Teresa, you know, spontaneously she didn't have to make an effort to serve the lepers and the poor people, because it came spontaneously, because she abided in that truth. So I think, but that's a good point.